Hello, 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 hello. Everybody, welcome to the podcast, episode 70 of Tuesdays with Perry. We're going to be getting Perry on the line in just a second. Today we're going to be talking about trouble in paradise. Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader who was imprisoned in Siberia, is dead. We'll be talking about him. We'll also be talking about Iran and Antarctica. Trump's civil case. Letitia James, Judge Engoron, and Shark Tank's Kevin Leary. Also the developments in the Kansas City shooting. Also be talking about Fannie Willis and her trip to Faruba and other continents coming up right now. Let's see if we can't get Perry on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Perry. Nice to talk to you again, my friend. It is.
Hey there, Rudy.
It is episode 70, Tuesdays with Perry.
We made it.
We made it. Thanks again for joining me. Well, wow, we got a lot to talk about. There's been quite a few developments with Trump's civil case and his case in Georgia. Apparently, Fannie Willis took trips around the globe to Faruba and other continents. We also had Trump's civil case with Judge Andorian and Letitia James. And Iran is taking over Antarctica. But first, I thought I'd talk a little bit about Alexei Navalny, who's the Russian opposition leader there in Russia, who died in his Serbian gulag. But it seems that his death is only benefiting the West. So before we get on to the other fun news and the developments in the Kansas City shooting, why don't we start with Alexei Navalny and talk a little bit about what you think happened. His death only helps the West, and it's very timely to get more funding for Ukraine. What's your take on all this?
Well, I believe it was last week I mentioned in our conversation how political, or I should say politicos, who are really effective at getting their policy moved forward, they use their left and their right hands, and they get everybody watching the left hand while the right hand is doing all the malfeasance. And I believe this is just another example of the deep state doing what voodoo they do so well. And, you and I had a private conversation over the weekend. I'm losing track of dates. I know it was more than a day ago. And we talked about this, and there is absolutely no way, and not in my mind, as dastardly as Putin is, that he'd be foolish enough to do something like this, because everything would point to him. And
he did blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, right?
Yeah, so they tell us. And he's also responsible for cow farts too. When you look at the events of the last several days, with this news coming out, because this man passed almost a month ago, I think in the last week of January. It's just too obvious to me. I'm sorry. It just, you know, something fishy and rotten is smelling in Denmark right now. Yeah. Not that I blame the Danes for this, but you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, apparently the CCTV cameras in the prison where he was weren't working. It's very similar to what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. So I don't know if the same person that murdered Jeffrey Epstein murdered Navalny, but you know, the Slavs there are willing to, well, they look at corruption a little bit differently, so it wouldn't be too hard to pay someone to poison his food. But I doubt it'll come out as polonium. We'll see what kind of poison ended this guy's life.
Polonium, we saw Viktor Valashenko was his name. He was, I want to say he was, was he Latvian? He was the prime minister of one of the former client states of the then Soviet Union. And when everything fell apart from the Soviet Union, everyone, you know, all of the Baltics had their own sense of independence, and they formulated their own constitutional governments. And I remember this guy was a real problem in Russia for Putin. And we're going back, not quite, but almost 20 years ago. And I remember he almost died. And if I remember correctly, his daughter died. They had ingested the same nuclear poison.
Right.
And, you know, there's only a couple of places on Earth where you could get your hands on something like that. And he was a real thorn in the side of Putin. And this is how Putin normally does things. So that's why this death, you know, to those who don't look more deeply, they start to believe the lies.
Right.
And it goes back to what I said and you have said during your podcasts in the last day or two. Look, the only people benefiting from this man's death are in the West.
Right.
This certainly isn't helping Putin. So why would Putin do it?
Right, exactly. It was like blowing up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. It was exact. Right. It was a detriment to the Russian cause.
Right.
Not saying that I'm backing the Russian cause or whatever, but it just, you have to look at the way, the timing of things, particularly if it is like COVID, for instance. You know, COVID couldn't have come at a better time for the Democrats to allow them to institute mail-in balloting and whatnot to beat Trump, who was leading it all the time.
Quite frankly, I think they had all the chess pieces in place, and they had to wait for the opportunity to unleash COVID-19 on the world.
Right.
And that's why all of this was done the way it was.
Right.
But you know, that's a conversation we've had before and we should have again, but not necessarily tonight.
Right, exactly. So that's just where I stand on it. It's always the qui bono, who benefits, the old Latin phrase there, where you really have to reverse engineer what happens to kind of get to the truth of the matter. So speaking of the truth to the matter, apparently Iran has laid claim to Antarctica, and people are a little confused by this. But you and I both well know that in 1961, there was an Antarctic treaty signed, but Iran is not one of the signatories, which leaves them out of the truce, basically was not to militarize Antarctica, but they weren't signatories on that. So maybe they're going there. They said they're going to, they've got work to do in the South Pole, wherever that is.
Well, you know, the thing about being signatories to a treaty is that it binds the signatories to the treaty.
Right.
Those who are not a party to such a treatment don't have to abide by it.
Right.
AKA why I've said, and you and I disagree on this, why I've said time and time again, and I will say it with every breath I have, terrorists should not be treated as soldiers under the Geneva Convention,
right,
because They are not soldiers. They are what they are. Right. Well, same thing holds true here with regard to Iran laying claim to a part of Antarctica. And what I find so interesting about this, concerning but interesting, is because they're not a member of the treaty, who's going to stop them? Putin ain't going to stop them.
Right.
She ain't going to stop them.
Right.
Okay? The Europeans aren't going to stop them. And we already know the old feeble man in the White House who can't complete a sentence in front of a microphone doesn't even know how to find Antarctica on a map.
Right.
So with that having been said, it'll be very interesting because if they follow through on this, it opens the door to just about anyone who is not a signatory. And look, the Chinese have landed robotics on the dark side of the moon. We have no idea what they're doing there. The Russians have hypersonic missiles that can be launched from space. They're not there now, but they can be launched from space. And the thing about hypersonic missiles is they don't have to be nuclear tipped in order to create that type of trauma that a nuclear explosion can detonate. And so when you put all these things in a nice little bow here and you see what China is doing on the dark side of the moon, and I don't know how many of your listeners know anything about what Putipu did. This is, I want to say, in the closing days of the Bush 43 White House. If not, it was certainly during the Obama administration. They sent one of their research submarines up to the very North Pole. And there is one there, geographical as well as magnetic. And they set a miniaturized Russian flag, and they video recorded it and publicized it to the world that this is now Russian territory and we regard it as such.
Right.
And you would be wise to avoid it. And our government never said boo. So when you look at that, and then you look at what the Chinese have done in the last less than 10 years with regard to their research, supposed research on the dark side of the moon. And you're the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, and you have maybe, we don't know for sure, maybe the capabilities to get to the South Pole, because you got to have special equipment. You have to have special ships. You just can't show up there in a cruise liner. Contrary to what people do with the SS Discovery, you need to have the right people in order to carry out such a mission, but that's not to say it's not within their capability.
You're going to end up like Shackleton. I don't know if the Iranians are fond of cannibalism, but whatever.
The autobiography of the Donner Party.
Yeah, exactly. Or what was the Brazilian soccer team that crashed in the Andes? So before we're going to end up in some of the developments that just occurred in the Kansas City shooting, I want to go over some of the Trump stuff with you, if you don't mind. The Trump civil case where apparently, I mean, we all know this, Kevin O'Leary was on the talk circuit saying this as well. It was a civil crime with no victim. None of the banks had a problem. But the judge and Letitia James, the judge and Gorin and Letitia James went after Trump. They vowed that he was guilty and that they were going to go after him. And so they fined him $355 million. Where's all this money going to go if there's no victim? You probably heard Kevin O'Leary on the talk circuit. He said basically the same thing, and that was going to chase away business from New York. What's your take on this civil case before we go into the Fannie Willis debacle in Georgia?
Down to Faruba.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know what continent that's on. I think it's on Antarctica.
Anyhow, with all seriousness, with regard to this miscarriage of justice, and if there was ever an example of a miscarriage of justice, this is it. There's a multitude of points to be made here. Number one, starting with what O'Leary said. And by the way, O'Leary is no fan of Trump. I remember him prior to Trump winning the White House. He didn't have anything nice to say about the guy.
No. And he, so did, he disavowed Trump from the whole formula.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, first of all, everything that O'Leary said is spot on. And the reason for this is multifold as well. And I try to say this to liberals who, you know, you mentioned the name Trump and it's a trigger for them. And, you know, they start saying things like Fannie has said, you know, he's a criminal. And I said, if they will do this to a billionaire who has the financial means to defend himself, you should be scared and shaking in your panties right now, because if they will do this to a man who has the ability to financially defend himself in court, and I, you know, my better half and I work for attorneys. They don't come cheap, okay? They don't work on the minimum wage. There's a reason why John Morgan is the biggest lawyer for personal injury in maybe the entire world, certainly the United States. They don't work cheap. And so if these what I call criminals are willing to go after Trump for something, and that's another thing. I disagree with O'Leary. There is no victimless crime because there's no crime. In order for there to be a crime, there has to be a victim. There isn't a victim. The banks who were listed by Letitia James literally said, we don't have a problem at all with the business arrangement we made with the Trump Organization. They accepted our terms for loaning them the money. They paid back the money with all interest in advance of the date they needed to pay by, and therefore we don't have a problem with any of this. And so if there is no victim, how do you set up a pattern where with a corrupt judge and a corrupt state attorney general, you could railroad such a man like Donald Trump and try to put him, if not behind bars, certainly try to bankrupt him. And as many people, and you and I talked about this in private, many people have said publicly, where's all this money? Even if he had to write the check, which he never will, just like E. Jean Carroll is never going to see a penny.
No.
Okay.
If she's not going to Paris to go shopping with.
Well, she might go to Paris, but she ain't going with Trump's money. I'll tell you that. And so when all of this happened to one man, whether you love him or hate him, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the rule of law. And our country is falling into the state of a banana republic. Banana republics like Nicaragua are making fun of us now. Yeah. Okay. You have people in El Salvador, the president of, Milei?
Bukele.
Kelly.
Bukele, yeah.
Bukele. He's making fun of the United States now. Look at where we have gone. And this is what's happening to Trump. And again, I keep going back to the point I was making earlier. If they will do this to a man like Trump, what do you think they're going to do to you? This is a message being sent to every little American, whether they're Rudy or Perry or one of our family members or our circle of friends. Don't ever get bigger than you should be, because if we ever consider you a threat, we will take you down.
Right.
What this is all about.
Right. They'll just call, like, the judge, Engoron, just referred to Trump as being guilty before the trial started.
And that's reason enough for him to be removed from the case.
Of course. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Letitia James, she ran as a politician for the position of attorney general.
Right.
On the one thing was not to make the streets of New York State safer, not to go after all the drug kingpins who are bringing in fentanyl and heroin and everything else, crystal meth and you name it. Not to go after these people who are literally selling poison on the street corners of Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Manhattan. No. We're going to go after this asshole from Queens that we just simply don't like because makes us look stupid.
Right, and then they ask him, not, are you going to seek revenge? I mean, they've been seeking revenge on Trump ever since he came down that escalator.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And whether or not he does will have no bearing at all on how he runs his administration in his second term.
Right.
I'm not worried about whether or not he is vindictive towards these individuals. Because let me tell you something. I want every last one of these motherfuckers put behind bars for abusing their authority in the rule of law.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
He was on Laura Ingraham tonight on Fox, and he said, when he was asked specifically, was he going to seek revenge, he just said, as many people say, you know, best revenge is living well. He's going to seek his revenge by succeeding. So he openly stated, you know, obviously he was courting independence, but he openly stated that he's not going to be seeking revenge as much as he's going to be seeking to succeed, and succeeding will be revenge enough for him. He intimated
that was Rudy. That was a perfect answer to give. Yeah. That to me shows, as a politician, maybe he is actually growing up. And to be a politician, you know, that was the one great thing about Obama and Slick Willie. They knew how to talk to the average man in ways that would make the average man and woman feel like they really gave a fuck about them.
Yeah.
When the only thing Bill Clinton saw in an attractive woman is, am I going to slap her across the face while I fuck her, or am I just going to enjoy it?
Yeah.
Juanita Broderick.
Yeah. I met Bill Clinton, and he did have that way about him. When he was speaking, it seemed like he was speaking just to you. And so that's a political gift for sure.
And I think that's partly where Trump may be going now, which is a good thing for him when it comes to politics. But let me tell you something. It's not that I seek – let me rephrase this. It's not that I want him to be vindictive. But I do expect him to hold every judge and every prosecutor to the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And where there is malfeasance, it should be rooted out and dealt with accordingly and swiftly.
Well, I don't.
The reason why Mark Levin wrote the book Men in Black more than a decade ago was because of all the corruption when it comes to people, men and women alike, who wear a black robe.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of that cloak, most people don't know why a judge wears a black cloak. It is to hide, this is symbolic, but it is to hide their bias.
Yeah.
When they sit on the bench, they wear black because their personal views supposedly have no reflection on their mind when it comes to being a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why they wear black. And Mark Levin exposed them for all the corruption. And it starts at SCOTUS and works its way down.
Yeah.
And so I expect whoever Trump assigns, and I've been told on the QT who it is. Again, I have friends in high places. I don't know if it's going to happen that way, but I have been told by a certain friend that he's already selected his cabinet, especially AG and
what I was just going to say was the fact that Trump's not going to put people in jail or hold people accountable. It's going to be his attorney general, hopefully.
As it should be. And this is my whole point. I expect there to be justice, because what is taking place right now, whether it's down in Georgia or up in New York or Pennsylvania, or where's the other major case? I'm trying to remember. There's so many of them now. You know, wherever it is, I expect those who have deliberately twisted the law into a pretzel in order to try and bring some kind of charge against Donald Trump, I want each one of them to pay with their law license, starting with Jack Smith and going down to Fannie and Letitia and all the others, because there's several others behind them.
Well, I think he's going to be less sparing when looking at the establishment, for sure. I don't think he's going to be – I think his first time around, he thought that people that were supposed to be on his side were going to be on his side, and they turned out not to be. And I think that goes not even for the Republican Party, but also for the judicial establishment at AL and the corporate establishment also.
Right.
So moving on to Fannie Willis goes around the world. She took trips to Faruba and to Belize and to the Bahamas, even though we're not sure what continent those are on. I think they're all on Antarctica. So she might have been visiting some Iranians with her new boyfriend. But if you didn't see her testimony, she was way, speaking of being out of line, of being part of the legal profession and being out of line, she took the stand, and not only did she school us in Ebonics, but legally, as a witness, she was way out of line. And I think the judge, who I guess worked with her, and the judge was kind of new, didn't really lay down the law with her as he should with any witness who behaved like that, for sure. So what is your take on Fannie Willis and her on again, off again boyfriend and their little travel schedule?
Well, you know, according to Fannie, you know, black people, we keep a lot of cash in our house.
They do. I never knew that because... You know, when I used to break into houses, I used to avoid that.
Right. See the mistakes you made?
Yeah.
So, you know, all I could say is, well, Fannie, now that you've given up the ghost, I suggest whatever money you still have laying around, you better move it into a metal pipe and plant it underground or do something.
Maybe put it in a bank and use credit cards and checks like everybody else. And maybe there'd be a money trail so you could verify that you paid people back.
Yeah, but if I did that, I'd have to be accountable. Yeah, see, this way, I can do the way I could do things the way we do it in the hood. Yeah. You know.
So if people aren't following along, basically what happened: the lead prosecutor, the attorney general in Georgia, is bringing the case of overturning an election against Trump. She actually hired her boyfriend, paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Who, by the way, when they started dating, was still married.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and then she was kicked back money by him flying her all over Antarctica or wherever Faruba is. And taking
it's kind
her.
Of what, it's kind of like what's happening right now with Zelensky and the DNC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, well, sort of.
But instead of you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we're talking about billions, hundreds of millions.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and that's the problem with this case. You should immediately be disqualified for ethics violations at the very least. But this case shouldn't be going forward anyway, like you know, Perry, most of them. So Fannie Willis goes to Faruba. What's your take on it? I mean, I don't know. She sounded like Hillary Clinton. She got on the stand and she started talking with a sort of ethnic vocabulary there that I'd never heard from her before. But she takes the stand, and I thought she was going to whip hot sauce out of her purse or something.
Well, trying to bring this part of the conversation back to reality, here's what concerns me. After seeing that joke on the witness stand and listening to the tirade and having to be reprimanded by the judge, let's forget about how she's used these, and again, excuse the pun, trumped up charges against Donald Trump. Okay. After all of this has come out, the question I have is, number one, why hasn't she already been removed? Number two, why isn't she being brought up on ethics charges? And number three, is the state bar of Georgia going to allow their good name and reputation as officers of the court to be sullied by someone who, first of all, doesn't seem to be able to speak in a coherent sentence, number one. I'm beginning to wonder, how in the world did she even get out of grade school, let alone graduate with a JD? I mean, you know, this is the reason why people like me do not believe in what our institutions of higher learning have been doing for the last 40 years.
Well, right. How did she become attorney general on top of all of that as well?
Well, how did she become an attorney, for God's sake?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand how she got to be attorney general. She kissed enough ass.
Is that what they do?
I don't know who wanted her ass, but she kissed enough of it. And obviously her boyfriend wanted it because he was willing to cheat on his wife to get it. But putting that aside, and that's another thing. The bar, and I'm using the term bar generically. It doesn't matter what state. The Bar Association, the American Bar Association, looks very, very putridly down on people who behave the way this man did. Because, again, even though it's only civil, to be humiliated in the public eye for carrying on an affair while you were still married. And by the way, it has been brought to my attention that his wife had no idea this affair was happening until recently. Oh. And that's the reason why. And by recently, I mean within the last 1 or 2 years. And that's right. The reason why they are separated and they're going through a divorce.
Right.
And so this is the type of behavior lawyers are put down for if they behave this way. I mean, they're threatened with their license to practice law if they behave this way. And nobody, including this judge, is threatening her yet with that.
It didn't seem to bother Kamala Harris and Willie Brown.
Well, look, we could go down that road another day, but they don't call him Downtown Willie Brown for nothing.
Yeah.
So, Having said that, that's a conversation for another day. But right now, we're talking about a corrupt attorney general, I'm sorry, district attorney, who is conducting a witch hunt, spending in upwards of $1 million because of the hundreds of thousands of dollars that she's already supposedly built the taxpayers of Georgia out of. For her own benefit. And then, of course, you have your hours and hours and hours of investigative work that is done by assistant attorneys that work in her office. And keep in mind, all while they're doing this, this witch hunt against Donald Trump with regard to the 2020 presidential election, with all of these attorneys in her office doing research, how many burglary, how many rape, and God forbid, how many murder cases get put on hold?
Yeah.
Because there's only so many attorneys to go around in any DA or attorney general's office. And all of this time and the taxpayers' money being spent on a witch hunt, this is all coming out now.
Yeah.
And part of this is what Trump was saying. I didn't see the show, you did, when he was talking to Laura Ingraham tonight. That's going to be his sweet revenge. And he's right. That will be his sweet revenge. Yeah. But he needs to go further, and he needs to have a Justice Department that will go after those who are criminals and hide behind their authority as district attorneys, as attorney general, and as judges sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And they all need to be done.
And it's just a disgrace, Fannie Willis, going on. And people are saying, who goes on six vacations a year? And she's supposed to be prosecuting this case, and she goes on six vacations with her boyfriend, and they spend tens of thousands of dollars on these lavish vacations, really being paid by the taxpayer, while she's prosecuting this case against Trump. It's really a travesty. Before we close out here, I want a few comments on some breaking news from the Kansas City shooting. Apparently, two men have been charged in the shooting as well. They only said they had three people in custody, but they were juveniles, and that's why they didn't name them. But the juveniles are still in custody, and they're being charged as well. But two men have been charged with the shooting. Apparently, they were shooting each other, but we don't have the whole story, because we know that there were two different shootings in different locations that happened simultaneously. And one woman was killed, 22 injured, and there were reports of people spraying the crowd, particularly the juveniles. But two men have been arrested. The particulars are that they were in an altercation and they started shooting each other. They're not very good shots, but they shot each other and shot. And apparently 22 people also got shot. So who knows exactly how this went down. So what are your comments on that developing news? Two men arrested along with the three juveniles. And what to make of this bizarre shooting that took place?
Well, here's what concerns me about all of this. It's not the news that came out today. It's where was all this news a week ago?
Right.
This happened, I think, last Tuesday was the parade,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Okay? As a matter of fact, Travis Kelce caught more grief about going on the record and saying, I'm going to have my party, I don't give a damn, than the fact that this took place. There are now close to two dozen, I think, people that were injured. One person lost her life. These are all innocent bystanders.
Right.
And we're only now finding out that in addition to these two juveniles whose names have still not been revealed, we have all of a sudden, out of the blue, now we have two adult males that have been arrested and charged with attempted murder and, you know, discharging of a firearm illegally and blah, 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 blah. How is it that a week went by before these arrests were made?
Right.
We're talking about downtown Kansas City.
Yeah, and 800 police officers were policing the parade. 800.
Right. Think about that. 800. That was probably the entire police force,
yeah,
of Kansas City. I mean, New York City has less than, I think, 4,000 cops, if I'm not mistaken. Less than 4,000 cops. And Kansas City is a dot in compared to the Big Apple. And you have over 800 officers. Everyone had to be called in for this. And yet there is, we haven't seen any video of this taking place. Names were not released until today.
We saw some video of the juveniles being tackled. Their race wasn't released, but apparently the juveniles are POC, people of color. And it seems like the men might be as well. They said it wasn't gang related, but there's still some strange questions that need to be answered, and why there were two simultaneous shootings during the event seems strange.
Well, what concerns me is what's going to happen in the days and weeks ahead, where the boys will get off because they'll say something to the effect, I was just having fun. I didn't mean to hurt anyone.
Right.
And, you know, the guys will say, I didn't mean to shoot anyone except that motherfucker because he was stealing my woman.
Yeah.
I mean,
who knows, you know, what the, yeah. And they, and that's right. Another thing is they didn't disclose what the problem was, what the disagreement was, or what the argument was about.
And that's
motive, and everybody should know what the motive was.
Everything about this shooting stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
And but Rudy, you being a former member of the world of journalism, this, if you can go back to the Clinton era when all of this started, you remember when you were still working in the local newspaper, there was a certain, I don't know exactly what year, maybe you can tell me, there was a decision made by the journalism community. We are not going to show the face of the perpetrator, especially if they happen to be black. We are not going to reveal the ethnicity of the victim, especially if the victim happens to be white.
Right.
And we may not reveal their names in a timely manner, because that might give it away. Like if somebody's name is Letitia, well, we know she sure certainly isn't a buxom blonde-headed white girl with blue eyes.
Right. That happened more recently. That was in the late 2010s.
Okay.
When they stopped
more than a decade ago.
Yeah, when they stopped saying, "Hey, we're not running mugshots anymore because it's not fair." It'll give people
somehow, right. Their argument was it's not fair.
Right. It'll
just give, like they said, just like they said, literally days after 9/11, we should not show these planes crashing into the towers anymore because people can't handle the stress.
It was trauma-based mind control. But yeah, they said we can't run mugshots anymore because it's not fair, because most of the criminals turned out to be people of color. But that's just the way of the world. I mean, the truth is the truth is the truth. And I hate to say that, but that's the case. And that's why I'm saying that I think these men that perpetrated the shooting were also people of color, because I think one has an ethnic name, but I'm not really sure. I think we're almost at an hour here, Perry, so I think we might have to cut it short. Any last words on any of these stories or on the Kansas City shooting?
I think we should probably call it quits here because, we've gone long enough. I think Kansas City still has to shake out. We'll see what happens in the days ahead.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be forthcoming with more information, like a motive. Could you please someone tell me a motive?
Yes.
Any crime? Right. Every mass shooting, how come every mass shooting doesn't have a motive? I don't know.
Right.
It seems that if someone wanted to shoot up a bunch of people, there should be a motive. That's just my take on it. So,
just the thought. But again, this is what's happened to your former community, Rudy. This is what's happened to journalism.
Well, they don't ask.
It used to be simple. Yeah. It was just the who, what, why, where, when, and how.
No, it's like it's like Columbo. I know some of the young people don't remember what Columbo is, but the problem is that you got to ask the real questions. If something pops into your mind, that's the question you should ask. You don't wait for your editor to tell you what questions to ask. You if you're inquisitive, you'll ask, well, why did these people okay, why were they shooting at each other? Okay, some stray bullets. But 22, how did 22, 24 people get shot? That's a lot of bullets to be shooting if you're shooting at one guy. don't know.
That's right.
I'm just going
to
shoot.
And that's why I said what I said. Mm-hmm. Well, we should be able to have answers to these very simple and legitimate questions within the days ahead.
Yeah.
We should.
Well, we'll see if we do. Appreciate you joining me, Perry.
All right, Rudy. Thank you for having me. We look forward to another wrap next week.
All right. We'll talk next week. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Perry, episode 70 of Tuesdays with Perry. Let's see, we knocked out a few stories there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
What did we talk about? Iran and Antarctica, Trump's civil case in New York, which was a travesty, as well as his ongoing case in Georgia with Fannie Willis, who may or may not be reprimanded or held accountable for her ethics violations. Hopefully she'll be taken off the case at the very least. We'll see what happens there. We also talked a little bit about Alexei Navalny, what's going on with that, why that seems suspicious. All right, that's it. We'll talk next week, episode 71 next week, Tuesday with Perry, or join me tomorrow, Rudy's Revelation. Check me out tomorrow. Peace out.
Ever felt in the past? Has it shaped me?